Hunter at Sunrise, acoustic, eclectic music for your Sunday morning, streaming live at hunteratsunrise.com, whrv.org, altradio.org, iTunes, Shoutcast, and Radio Time. We're on your digital radio at 89.5 WHRV HD2 Alt Radio. And you know we like to do acoustic sessions here on the show. This one's being brought to you with support from Carol Butler of Pembroke Title. Pembroke Title is your real estate resource. And if you can't tell, we're on the road here today. We're out at Harris Creek Acoustic House Concert Series. And joining us, both of these artists have been on our show before, but never together. It's really cool. We got Katie Curtis and Maya Sharp. How are you guys?
Fine,
great.
Thank you.
Good to be here. Yeah.
We don't know who's supposed to answer first.
Yeah.
Thanks for having
you
us.
You don't know who's saying it. Who am I?
That's right.
Who is she?
Well, the one on the left is Katie, and the right is Maya Sharp. What would you guys like to play for us first?
Well, I'm going to start out with this. This is Katie. I'm going to start out with a song that Maya and I wrote together.
Okay. And this is a brand new song.
It's a brand new song. It'll be on my upcoming While We're Here release. That's a CD coming out in January, and Maya sings on it in the studio as well. So this is called My Betraying Heart.
Excellent.
Dinner is over, I cleared and cleaned, better than I ever done before. Dead man walking, I won't be redeemed. And it's 1,000 miles across the floor, but I can't run anymore. I've been denying, justifying, trying to keep myself surrender. I can't defend her, my betraying heart. And now I'm saying what no one wants to hear, and doing what no one wants to do. Best friend through so many years, the one I tell everything to. I wish it wasn't true. I've been denying, justifying, trying to keep myself. I surrender, I can't defend her, my betraying heart. I couldn't keep her quiet, I couldn't tune out the sound. She wakes me up when she sings, and she sings.
At Sunrise here with Katie Curtis, who you just heard, and Maya Sharp. So how did this little tour come together, this little mini tour of the East Coast?
Well, we actually met first through our friend AG, and the last show I did here was with her, Garrison Starr,
right.
AG and me, and AG thought that it would be a good idea for us to get together, and you know what, she was right. We had a really, really good time. Katie was coming to LA to write some songs, and we started, is it okay to say this?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what you're going to say, but
I know,
okay,
maybe
I trust you.
All right. We started just kind of throwing song ideas out there, you know. So this is going to be, you know, a session. I have some seeds in my phone. I have a couple ideas here and there, and so we kind of put all those out on the table. And then she said, you know, let me just tell you what's going on right now. I don't think I want to write about it, mm-hmm. but let me just tell you what's going on. I'm like, oh God, please, we got it. This is so real.
I said, we can start it, but I'm not going to perform this song because right. you know the most personal stuff, you only can write it by telling yourself, I'm not actually going to play this.
Oh, okay.
And then it's done, and you play it for someone, and they're like, I can relate to that. And so you're like, all right, I'll play it.
Well, that's what it's all about, isn't
yeah.
it? Just having songs that relate to people and get right down to the basics, isn't it?
Yeah, and usually when you really feel a connection to your song, then others will too. It's just a basic human thing. I mean, anytime I've ever just tried to use my brain only to, okay, I'm going to craft this thing and I'm going to make it sound a little bit like this artist and a little bit like this artist, and the tempo has to be this, and it's like, okay, that doesn't I don't feel that.
It doesn't seem natural.
Don't either. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Katie, I didn't realize you have a new live album.
I do, yeah. I played a show in Chicago last winter, and the board tape came out amazing. And I'd never made a live record because I'd always thought, well, it's not really live if you know that it's being recorded.
I see.
You know what I mean? Like, there's something about a live show where you're just completely uninhibited and you're just playing for that moment. And so that was a night when they had amazing gear. They did an amazing job recording the show, and they handed it to me after. And it was like ready to put out. It was this really magical night, and so I now have Katie Curtis live in my catalog.
Well, you also had 2014's release, the Flying Dream.
Yeah, and that was.
And you produced. You had the producer that I've played on my show before, Kristen Hall,
right?
Who's quite a singer-songwriter her own. Right. Have you known Kristen long?
Well, I met her and we started writing songs together, and by the time we kind of like we had written like 7 or 8 songs together, and in the current batch I had back and then in like around 2014, and so she said, God, I hope like when you record this that they don't really mess it up, and I was like, well, maybe you should produce it, and so she was like, yeah, and we went in the studio together, and she sings on it, and it. Really, a really cool experience to work with her.
Oh, it's a nice batch of songs, I must say.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit more about this other album that's coming out, hopefully in January, I guess.
Yeah, definitely in January.
Definitely in January.
Okay, last week of January or first week of February, but it's called While We're Here, and it has a lot of songs about change and loss and resilience. It's mm-hmm. been 3 years since I got divorced, and
okay.
it's. I feel like it's kind of a classic Katie Curtis record in some ways, because of those intense themes, and
uh-huh.
And I'm celebrating going on a tour for While We're Here from, this is part of it, but then January through May, and I've made this huge life decision that I'm gonna stop touring after that.
Oh.
Yes.
That's a big decision.
It is, and it's really like I want to continue to make music and write music and connect with people online and run retreats and mm-hmm. run smaller group experiences. But
uh-huh.
Traveling around, playing gig to gig, I'm gonna try it out. I'm gonna close that chapter because I've been doing it for 25 years and
yeah.
I've loved it, and I kind of want to go out on a high note and then. Experience something else in my life.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Well, would you guys like to do another song, Maya?
I'm thinking about doing one from the last album, The Dash Between the Dates.
Oh, yeah.
This was the second single, and Katie's going to help me out on it, please. Unless you're too angry at me for my last answer.
It's Maya Sharp here on Hunter at Sunrise.
No one but myself to blame. If I ain't got love to call my own, maybe it takes some chipping away before you get down to the cornerstone. How much gold can you find if you never go mining? Say the wine gets better if you let it breathe. Oh, the deeper the digging, the sweeter the finding. I wanna know what's underneath. Oh, I wanna know what's underneath. When the new ran out, I ran out. I took off when time took off the shine. Never could shake my shadow off down. And the only heart I ever really broke was mine. How much gold can you find if you never go mining? They say the wine gets better if you let it breathe. Oh, the deeper the digging, the sweeter the finding. I wanna know what's underneath. Oh, I wanna know what's underneath. Oh, I wanna know. Oh, underneath. Underneath what shone, past the shallow waters, through uncharted, undiscovered, unknown. How much gold can you find if you never go mining? The wine gets better if you let it breathe. Oh, the deeper the digging, the sweeter the finding. I wanna know what's underneath. Oh, I wanna know what's underneath. I wanna know what's underneath. Oh, I wanna know. I wanna know.
Awesome. Thank awesome. Love that song.
Clapping.
I really love that song. I've played that song quite a few times on the
oh,
show,
thank
by the
you.
Way. Maya Sharp here on Hunter at Sunrise. And yeah, just a great record that you put out in 2015. It's been about a year and a half now, maybe?
Yeah,
maybe
it was October of 15. Yeah. So coming up on the.
And I was looking at your website, and you've got, you know, great review after great review of this record on there. USA Today did a review of a few others. Really cool.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it was a good.
I'm glad it was well received.
Now you you've been covered by other artists. You're kind of like the songwriter's songwriter, like that. But I was really surprised at one of them. The Dixie Chicks have covered you, of course. Bonnie Raitt, you know, and has appeared on your records. Mm-hmm. Trisha Yearwood, Keb Moe, Edwin McCain, but Cher.
That's
Cher
the one
did
that
one of
you.
Your songs.
Cher was actually my first. That was in 1996. So, oh man, I do not want to do the math, but I think we're at about 20 now.
Which song did she do? I'm not that familiar with Cher, so.
It was called "Don't Come Around Here Tonight," and it was on the album before her giant comeback, multi-squillion selling album. It was the one just before that, which is kind of one in a long list of stories of the big almost. But yeah.
Well, would she ever do your song in concert or anything?
I don't think she ever did it live. She has so many hits.
I know.
And remember, for a while there, she was retiring and then returning a lot. Uh-huh. And I think when she came back, she did all the big smash hits. But I was on the album. Most of my cuts have been album, not singles.
Uh-huh.
But still, the thrill of it, you know, and the compliment of it, of somebody putting one of my songs on their albums, especially when they're also a writer, you know, Bonnie,
oh, yeah,
the Chicks. They're really good songwriters also.
Uh-huh. Well, so they know them, a good song when they hear it.
Oh, man, I'm very humbled by that.
Yeah. Now, I didn't know that preceding this record you were having some difficulty writing songs, and maybe this kind of got you out of something.
Yeah, the Dash experience. Yeah, I hadn't hit a writer's block really through all of these years. It just kind of, there was always something there. At least, I mean, I'm not the one to say if all the songs were great or whatever, but I always had a passion for it, and I always had new ideas that I wanted to flesh out, and I cared about those, and I wanted to see them through, and I didn't matter if they were ever going to find a home or what was going to happen. I was really excited about the writing process. And then a couple years ago, it just kind of started fading away. Like, well, I've got these ideas, but I don't know. Shrug, you know.
Yeah.
Am I gonna finish it? Is anybody gonna care if I do? I got a little pouty about it. Like, what am I doing? You know, why? Anyway, I lost some of the drive for it, and I didn't realize how much I had taken that for granted. Mm-hmm. Just the enthusiasm and the passion for the writing itself. So when it wasn't there, it kind of changed me. I think. It's safe to say that for that year, I was kind of a jerk. Like, I probably wasn't a whole lot of fun to be around. Like, it affected my whole thing. Like, if I didn't have a connection to creating and writing, if I wasn't excited about that, I wasn't excited about really anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally realized that this is important. I have to find this again. I'm not sure how I'm going to do it, but I have to force it, you know? So I just started writing. I started fleshing out these seeds, and a lot of them were like, I don't care, who cares, whatever, nobody's gonna care. And then there was one, and maybe it was like I was trying to make life imitate art, but it was called Phoenix, and I needed to rise up from this.
Uh-huh.
I needed to start again, you know. I needed to find the passion again.
Wow. Well,
so
I'm glad
I finished
you did.
Phoenix. It took me weeks. I threw away so many drafts of it. If we wrote things on paper again, it would have been about a tree's worth of paper.
Wow.
Just to get to like what I felt again. I wanted to feel it again.
Right.
So I finally did that. And so Phoenix, you know, being finished, which is a depth cut, like it's never going to be a radio thing, but it's what I needed to crawl out of that hole.
Sure.
And then it led to the next one, and then the next one. And then I was kind of back on track, and I was passionate again. And now I appreciate being passionate again about it, enjoying it again.
Yeah.
I'd never really appreciated it. I just thought I was always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But when it wasn't, it was not fun.
Yeah. We're talking with Maya Sharp and Katie Curtis. You know, one thing I want to ask the two of you, you're kind of like from opposite sides of America. You're from LA. You're from the East Coast. Does that ever figure into how you guys put together songs or sing together or anything like that? Or have you ever thought of it that way? Or
I mean, I think in terms of our sort of natural, where we kind of sort of flowed into the music industry, I knew growing up was a folk scene. I didn't know anything about the mainstream music business. And in New England, there's a very strong grassroots folk scene. And so, like, when we talk about, you know, a passion for writing, I think that, you know, part of what motivates a lot of singer-songwriters is sort of the instant gratification of playing the song at a show. And, you know, I've always had the opportunity to play for people, so I would always be like, I'm going to write something today because I'll play it tonight. I'll write something for this tour coming up. And I think one of the things that's, you know, a challenge about that is sometimes you never... you never reach a wider audience and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I think I'm guessing that, you know, if you grew up in LA, that's sort of mainstream music industry is at least a little more real to you. I mean, it's like kind of a real thing that maybe not for a lot of people, I guess, but the option of writing songs that other people might record, or instead of like, oh, I'm going to go and play every Unitarian Church coffee house in Southern California. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely had a different experience from that. I mean, I had a version of that one, you know, where I'm on the road. Probably not as much as you, but still like, okay, I have this show, I want to do something new and I want to write something for it. And that does inspire, you know, the writing of something fresh. But yeah, I was a staff writer for a while and it was like, here's the pitch sheet and Faith Hill's looking for something that sounds like a mix of this and that, and it's gotta be upbeat. And also I've done a lot of, you know, LA sessions with like, you know, the track person's in the room and we're trying to write the big pop lyric to it. By the way, it's never worked for me to do the big pop lyric thing with the track guy. The songs, like I said earlier, the songs that for me have ever landed are the ones where I felt a connection to them and I had no idea who was going to do them or who was going to care, but I really cared about it, and I think that's what they feel.
I think that's what we have in common as artists too, that neither of us is driven by commercial forces as much as we are both really into the feeling of right when you're right in the midst of writing a song and you're trying to figure that freaking puzzle out.
Right.
It's the best bone to chew. It's an incredible experience. And when we were doing it together, I could see we were like from the same tribe because we both really wanted the lyrics right and we wanted to really express exactly that feeling. And the commitment to that is, I think, what drives us both.
Yeah.
And then to share that together as we perform has been really fun.
Cool.
Yeah, and I don't know if you feel the same, but of all the things that we do, playing live and writing, you know, recording, all the ways that you can find satisfaction or not, that moment of knowing that you got the chorus exactly right, that it's absolutely the best that it could be, that little moment, or knowing that the song is finished and it is airtight and it's everything that you wanted, the hairs on my arms raise up for that. And that is a more like overwhelming feeling than really any other facet of it.
Wow. Well, we're talking with Maya Sharp and Katie Curtis. Would you like to do one more song before we wrap this up?
Katie, what do you think?
We're going to go out on a limb here and do this crazy little song that we wrote this week. Well, it was written after I posted on Facebook that I wasn't actually going to go move to Canada after the election, and that I was going to stay here. And a lot of people had been joking that they were moving, and I said something about myself and said, you know, and I ain't going. And I said, people, you know, tell me something about yourself and if you're going to move to another country or not, and I will try to make a song out of it. And sure enough, there must have been hundreds of comments of I'm this and that, and I'm not planning to move, or I'm thinking about it, or whatever. And I brought it. It all happened on Thursday. This is Saturday, so that was 2 days ago. And Maya and I took the ideas, and you know, we kind of put them in a certain order, and then sat in the green room at our show in Vienna, Virginia, and wrote a chorus together to go with it. So this is a song that may only exist for the next week, or it may be, you know, 100 years.
Longer and longer.
100 years. The song is getting longer and longer. We keep adding verses as people continue to comment on my post. All right.
Do you want me to take the alternates?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm a pro-choice lesbian with brown-skinned children, and I ain't going. I'm a gay Jew in Denver with 2 grown kids, and I ain't going. I'm a cranky ass journalist, I ain't going. 'Cause this is what America looks like.
I'm an old white guy with liberal leanings,
and I ain't going.
I'm a lesbian agnostic from New England,
and I ain't going.
I'm a black woman fighting till justice is done,
ain't going, 'cause this is what America looks like. What America looks like, we got the whole array. Less like the 50s, every single day. It took a lot of time and sacrifice for us to be this way. Through protests overflowing, demonstrations growing, these seeds are worth the sowing. I'm not going. I'm a straight, white, educated, middle class male. I ain't going. We live with our Jewish dad and our Mexican brother, and we ain't going. I raised two gay children in the Bible Belt, and I ain't going, 'cause this is what America looks like. I'm a Southern Baptist lesbian married to a veteran. I ain't going. I'm sober and believe me, I just want to escape, but I ain't going. I'm a purple-haired cat owning life coaching woman. I ain't going, 'cause this is what America looks like. It's what America looks like. We got the whole array. It's less like the 50s. Every single day took a lot of time and sacrifice for us to be this way. Through protests overflowing, growing, seeds are worth the sowing. I'm not going. Wait, there's more. I'm an 11th generation Appalachian feminist, and I ain't going. Married to a California Portuguese Jew, and she ain't going. I'm raising no. Okay, this is a hard one. I'm raising gender nonconforming activist Quakers. And they ain't going. This is what America looks like. It's what America looks like. We got the whole array. It's less like the 50s. Every single day it took a lot of time and sacrifice for us way. Through protests overflowing, demonstrations growing, a history worth knowing, the answers are blowing in the wind. I'm not going.
Yeah. That is great. Wow, I could see Facebook while I was you were doing that. I could just imagine. Maya Sharp and Katie Curtis here on Hunter at Sunrise. I guess we're going to have to wrap this up. It's gone so well. It's great seeing both of you again and having you on the show. Thanks so much for doing this today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
And so look them up on iTunes or anything. Both of them are there, and all their records are there. Bye. And they also have websites to buy from, I'm sure.